Hello. If any of you were looking at me, my sermon fell and I was trying to find it. I couldn't find it. It was underneath my chair here. So this is what you do when you're doing live streaming. So glad that you're here joining us this morning. And today is our annual meeting. But I wanted to do my sermon of this morning using the gospel passage that Steffi beautifully read just a moment ago. And you might have noticed a phrase that really stuck with me. The human one must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the legal experts, and be killed, and then, after 3 days, rise from the dead. I'm struck by the statement of Jesus in today's gospel. And I can totally understand Peter's strong reaction against it. The gospel says Peter took hold of Jesus and, scolding him, began to correct him. Indeed, why must the human one suffer? Why does Jesus say this? And again, why there must be any suffering at all? This is one of the most intractable questions in human history. Why is there evil? Why is there suffering? And especially, why do the innocent, the children, suffer? And it's a question that, to be honest, there's no real answer. This past year, we have all experienced suffering in a new way. This has been probably one of the most difficult years for humanity in a very long time. For many people, this is normal. The suffering they experience is their day to day. But COVID-19 has brought suffering to a new level. There are probably over 3 million people around the world who've died from this virus. Here in the United States, we reached the mark of over 500,000 human beings who've died in the past year. And with projections for June 1st, that the deaths around the world could probably reach 3.7 million. And here in the United States, it might reach 600,000 deaths. Thankfully, here on our county in San Juan Islands, we have experienced no deaths. Nevertheless, several of our parishioners have lost friends and loved ones. Many more have lost jobs, businesses, and earnings. We've had seen a sharp increase in people needing to access social services in our community. Anxiety and depression have touched many of us. This has been definitely a year riddled with suffering. And sadly, this suffering is compounded by economic inequalities, discrimination, and racism that have plagued American society since its inception. In the midst of this suffering, how are these words of Jesus any good news? As I meditate on them, I perceive that Jesus is witnessing with his own life that in the midst of suffering, oppression, injustice, there can be hope, there can be life. He does not explain why. He simply lives. New life springs forth in the midst of the cross. In my life as a missionary, in the Redemptorist Order, living in very poor countries and communities, I learned quickly that sometimes those who are in the midst of the most terrible poverty and suffering are sometimes the people most resilient in their joy, in their manifestation of beauty. I have witnessed the same dynamics in the past year with you here at Emmanuel and here in our island of Orcas. In our community of Orcas Island, we have seen an explosion of kindness and compassion. Emmanuel Parish has seen a rise on the occasion to great generosity of services and donations. There has been a lot of community-wide work to address the gaps in services. And many of you have contributed in a myriad of ways. Hugh and I, through servings on the boards of the Orcas Island Community Foundation, the Food Bank, and the Orcas Community Resources Center, have witnessed tremendous compassion and creativity. We feel definitely proud to call this our home, and we delight in representing Emmanuel's ethos of care and concern in any community work that we do. The Episcopal Church has invited us in all the churches to answer three questions. And these questions address the unique challenges and opportunities this pandemic has presented to us. And not only the pandemic of COVID, but also the pandemic of racism, as our bishop has invited us to consider also. And I believe this will be a great hope as I review this last year, this annual meeting day, in my sermon, as I review the challenges and the opportunities to see all this disruption and suffering and not being able to gather in person, to see the little sparks of light, of hope and life amongst us. One of the first questions the Episcopal Church invites us to answer is, what were the primary opportunities, innovations and challenges in conducting worship during the pandemic? And what did you learn? In March, we decided to close our church for in-person worship and meetings. Nevertheless, we quickly adapted and learned. We learned very quickly how to move to in virtual presence. We learned how to record and publish and live stream our services. We first started with a little video camera, my iPhone, really. But then with the energy and the curiosity of Bill Bangs, we were able to improve Sunday to Sunday, trying to offer a better worship service. We're not a huge church. We're not an enormous parish with many resources, but I believe that we've done a pretty good job. And I thank Bill for his tenacity and his curiosity to give us through. Marianne and Carl singing from their home, recording beautiful music as usual, singing, uplifting our spirits with their music. Lisa and Karen adapting how to be the secretary of the parish administrators from their homes. And when they get to the parish office, locked in there, printing the bulletins for us, trying to adapt. And Tim Webster, keeping our facilities clean and safe throughout the time. I'm deeply grateful for their adaptability and their dedication. Thankfully, we did not suspend any of our worship services. We had two services on Sundays. We kept them. We did not suspend our Thursday worships, our Friday centering prayers, our Spanish service the first Saturday of the month. We kept on recording it and sharing it on Facebook. We also even added a compline service, a night prayer every month. And we found a way to celebrate Holy Week and Christmas virtually. It's not the best, but we did it. We were able also to maintain our Thursday spiritual formation book group. And we also added in choirs class. Steffi was part of it. Seven adults, three of whom were baptized in September. And we are waiting for the bishop, when he can come, to confirm and receive them. We also held a retreat and meetings addressing the pandemic of racism, which has affected our society for so, so long. We explore during this time through different mediums. We use Vimeo and Facebook and YouTube and Zoom and MailChimp. We learn new ways of being church, even as we felt the loss and longing, as none of these ways feels the same, to be honest, as singing together, as kneeling side by side to receive Holy Communion, to share the peace, to give us hugs, to see our faces without masks. We discovered new things. For example, the Christmas Eve service that we did in Spanish, we had 100 viewers, and that was really surprising. It might indicate this is another way of reaching our Latino and Latina brothers and sisters who are not able to join us in church. Another positive outcome has been that many people who don't live on Orcas were able to join us, and they felt connected. I got emails from Mexico, from California, people saying, it's so good to be with you at Emmanuel. And also people who their own home churches were unable to have online services, they told us, thank you for at least I'm able to join you, even though I'm not part of Emmanuel community. We change our e-news. We use a new system. I hope that it's more helpful. There's tons of information. I know I put a lot of stuff every week there, but the idea is to keep ourselves connected, informed, part of our community in the midst of this pandemic and the social isolation that has meant. During this time, many of you have been felt really, really good about learning new technologies. I had someone tell me, I'm almost 90 years old. I had never thought that I would have been able to do a Zoom meeting or gathering for worship, watching YouTube. I have to acknowledge for others, it was very, very difficult and a challenge and felt left out. Truly, isolation has been one of the greatest challenges for all of us. And I'm truly grateful for the Agape team offering assistance in these times of need for all who needed and wanted help, and reaching out to those who were able to not be connected, helping with groceries, errands, or simple calls to connect. For many of you, after a year of virtual church and Zooming, there has been a fatigue. Our coffee hour, we started about 30 people at the beginning, and we have dwindled for about 10 or 8 every Sunday. It is difficult. It is not the same to be through a screen, gathering together. We try to adapt, making our service shorter so that we would have less time together in church, those who are ministers, and also less screen time at home. This has been a challenging year, but the good news is we have been able to adapt and to learn new ways of being church. During this time of pandemic, I want to recognize the role of all of you, the vestry, the wardens, our vestry members, the staff, the volunteers who've worked so, so hard to see us through these times. And thank for so many people who've expressed gratitude, encouragement to keep us going. As to be honest, we sometimes wonder, is this working? Are we reaching people? Is this really touching people's hearts and lives? So thank you for staying connected as the ways you did it. Thank you for being such kind-hearted, open community. A second question that the Episcopal Church invited us is to look towards the future. What are the primary opportunities and challenges our church is facing as it plans for the future? So first of all, I'm looking forward to having in-person worships, and hopefully it'll be sooner than later. I have no idea when this will be, but we will definitely start with limited attendance. It seems things are getting better. Vaccinations are happening. We're having the Zoom meeting because Bill and Margie went to do their second vaccine. Bill and Margie, hope you're feeling good, but we wanted to make sure and give them a little break this Sunday morning. So we will start with limited attendance. We're planning maybe for Easter morning to have the sunrise service outdoors, and maybe that will be our first. So we'll keep you posted when we'll be doing this. But definitely looking to the future, we will keep doing online services. They might not be as elaborate as Bill has done with different camera angles and having the bulletin right there as we're doing. It might be a little bit simpler, but definitely we are going to have online services from now on. Also, an opportunity this pandemic has been an opportunity to worship differently. We've used morning prayer instead of the Eucharist because we can't share the Holy Communion. So we've explored resources like the New Zealand Prayer Book, the Iona Book of Worship, the Church of England Common Worship Book, and other resources like Jim Cotter's. And that has been very beautiful. Many of you have said, I really enjoy that type of language. So we're looking forward to see how we can do worship going on forward from now. One of the things I believe, and I hope all of you are missing, is sharing Holy Communion, which is the central celebration of our church life. Christ given to us and shared through the mystery of the consecrated bread and wine. And I hope that when we're able to once more share the Eucharist, we will be all overjoyed with emotion to kneel together to receive the holy bread, the holy wine, the body and blood of Christ. Another challenge will be to initiate our 7 inquirers, Vicky, Steve, Kira, Peter, Steffi, Mars, and Carson. We did a beautiful baptism for 3 of them in September, but we have not yet confirmed and received them. And hopefully soon we will be able to invite our bishop to come here to Orcas and have them. And I've promised that once we are able to do this and gather in person, we're going to have a big party. I've spoken a couple of people, and we have to have a big, big party and to celebrate and to eat together these 7 new members of our church. During this pandemic, we've also been confronted by a new way by an older pandemic, and that of racism and white supremacy. And to try and raise consciousness about this, a group of us gathered in retreat and meetings and readings in our book club and in our prayers to address the need to educate ourselves and to actively work to identify our own racist biases, all of us, our privilege that blinds us and alienate people of color, and to embark on the difficult but necessary work of anti-racism. We do not want to lose touch with this challenge. And as we move forward, we need to keep that in the forefront, how we can, Emmanuel, continue to work this work of anti-racism. So finally, what 3 things are the most challenging and most hopeful? I believe it's this learning of doing church virtually. Who had known that I had to become a televangelist? I had never thought about that. I don't like it that much, but we did it. We moved our services virtually, and we will continue to explore this medium. Second, what I think we learned, and I hope you all took out, is we can all learn. We can adapt. We can think outside the box. We can do church in a different way. And I want to invite you, all of us, to keep thinking. How can we continue being church in new ways? Sometimes we Episcopalians are kind of rooted in a box, and sometimes a very strict box. How can we do church in new ways? Explore, be creative, and think really outside of our boxes. And finally, the realization came that we can reach many people through this medium, this virtual online gathering. So those are the things I took out, and I hope you continue to think how this pandemic can help us to be a better church, a better community of followers of the Christ. This has been a traumatizing year, and we still have more ways to go. I encourage all of you to deepen our spiritual practices, our prayer life, our sacramental life, our community life. These are powerful resources to help us be resilient and compassionate in these difficult times. And once things get back to some new version of normal, when we're able to gather in person again like before, we might experience some form of lingering stress and grief from all that we have been going through. We will get through any such stress and grief together. We will heal together. We will grow together, because we are a resurrection people. This is our faith. May the promise of new life after the third day keep us ever open to God's grace, joy, and hope. Amen.
Amen.